We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sean Salisbury, of course, former NFL quarterback. AM 790 in Houston. Sean, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. What are y'all worked up about, brother? What's happening?
Life's well, first,
what's on your mind?
Well, here's the thing. I hate, it drives me crazy when you criticize a team and the fans are like, you're being too negative. It ticks me off every time because I call it like I see it, Sean. I've been doing radio for 20 years. I've never once stated an opinion on the air that I didn't believe. So if I'm going to keep it real, I'm going to say things that fans don't like sometimes. And, you know, I'll admit, when fans get, you know, are nasty to me on Twitter, especially when it gets personal, it ticks me off. Some people say, it doesn't bother me. It bothers me. I'll admit it. So I was screaming and yelling about that. I'm on a roll today.
Yeah, good. Passion's good, man. It shows you care. Like I said, I've been in a long time, too, and I'm with you. Here, just a piece of advice. Not that you need my advice, because I try to say this to myself. Is there on that Twitter thing, when you put something on Twitter, what have you, there's that mute button that you don't have to get involved in it if you don't want to. To where it's like, okay, peaceful. Secondly, because you said you're – and you know what the great thing about it is you aren't a hot take guy. You believe in what you say, and that's a good thing.
That's right.
And listen, here's what I learned. As long as it's not personal, I don't make it personal, you don't make it personal. When you're talking about a football player, it's not negative. It's called, see, because I'm not in the business of kissing the ass of anybody.
That's right.
Because then I lose credibility as a broadcaster. And I'm also not in the hate business where – you just say something mean if a guy had four touchdown passes just to find something mean to say. I'm not in that business either. So I think most good football or sports fans, even though they may disagree with you, as long as they keep it fair and it's okay to disagree, I think most of them know when their team – guy lays it on the – I can't defend Zeke Elliott in Dallas laying the ball on the ground five or six times this year. You can't defend it. So – not personal, it's just don't fumble the football or you're gonna have to find yourself on the bench. So I like your passion, man, and fans will love them too, but it's okay to be a little sensitive to it and be bothered by it. Nobody wants tomatoes thrown at them, but I wouldn't take it too serious, my man. By tomorrow they'll be for guys. I mean, comments, they'll move on to the next one, just like we move on to the next one. They get mad at us, we get mad at them. It's life. But you know what? We got a gig because they listen, man. So it's a good thing. I love those fans.
That's right. That's right, Sean. Good advice.
Sean, a lot of times you look at games that are blowouts and you try to just like wash, you rinse your mouth out and move on, right? Like spit it out. Get rid of it. Move on. But now it's happened twice. You know, to two really good teams, 30 points to Baltimore, 30 points to Pittsburgh, excuse me, this past weekend. What does that tell us about this team, if anything?
The truth is, as we're talking about, is that they're not ready for prime time yet. And that pains me to say because I still catch a lot of hell around the country for saying the Cleveland Browns are a playoff team at 4-2. But it also tells you that if they get to the playoffs, they better sustain it because when the big – and two of those big boys they got hammered by are in their division. So that – and so you've got to – I don't measure myself – hey, wins are hard to come by, no doubt. But I wouldn't measure my team or myself if I was playing high school football playing against the freshmen. I should beat the freshmen. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing against my high school team's playing against the high school All-American team, that's how I measure myself. And right now the Browns' measurement, they're tough to win. Everybody's got good players, some more than others. But you measure yourself against the best, just like you measure yourself when pressure hits. And right now they haven't dealt with that against two good teams. And their four wins, they've done some good things and handled some pressure in certain games. how do you handle pressure against the teams that handle it better than you? And right now, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense was pedestrian at best last week. And they waltzed their way to a victory because their defense completely dismantled and confused not only the quarterback but up front everywhere. And that's okay. It happens. But when it happens two or three or four times, it becomes a trend. And you don't want that trend to happen not only for your record, but you don't want it to happen for your, oh, man, how are we going to fare against the big boys? And right now, there's the big-time haves in the league. We know who they are. The Pittsburghs, Baltimore's close, Kansas City, Seattle. We know who they are. The Browns, just the fact of the matter is they're not in the have. They're 4-2, but nobody's mistaken them for the, ooh, that's a Final Four team or a Final Eight team right now if you do both conferences. They're not there right now, but fortunately we're six games in, so there's a chance. But they got to play better. It's not a matter that they do. They got to play better, and they can't get pushed around because regardless of how well one guy plays, this is the ultimate equalizer. Seven or eight guys can play really good on one play. If the left guard or the right tackle don't, it's hard to succeed in professional football. Basketball, one guy can take over. You guys have watched it in your years with LeBron there in Cleveland. One guy can take over and still beat you. It's really, really hard in football. Deshaun Watson here go out and throw for 380, and they score 36 points. They can't beat Tennessee in the rain when you score 36. And matter of fact, they get pushed around. So the fact of the matter is that the Cleveland Browns right now are not ready for the big boys. They may be in one game, but we're concerned about sustaining. Could they go on the road as a wild card, three games in a row, and make it to the Super Bowl right now in January with the way they play against the studs? No, they're not good enough to do that right now, period. Or they're not executing, maybe is a better way to put it.
And, you know, you mentioned briefly the quarterback, but I mean more specifically, Sean, right? He has failed to perform against the best. He has not shined when the lights have been brightest. And we all loved him going in, all three of us. We loved him going in. We loved him in his rookie year. He's been a big disappointment since. He's had some good moments. But the down has been more than the up for Baker for the last two years. Where are you with him specifically right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I tried to explain on my show this morning. We were talking about quarterbacks and, you know, the Tua situation and when young guys should play. And we got to Baker. And, you know, I've been one of those guys that I've been critical at times and believed in him, as we did. We sometimes miss. I'm not willing for us to sit here and all three of us stand in line and say, we blew this, he's a bust. I don't think we're there. I don't. I think the questions are fair that wonder, because I would have told you the opposite. I would have said, against average teams, Baker's probably coming out of school. Against average teams, I would have thought that maybe he's not as motivated, because he's kind of a guy that rides on that swagger, right? But against the big boys, it would almost felt like me, like, walk on, boy, he's going to go get the scholarship. Because I would have felt that he would have been opposite of what we're seeing in the NFL, that he would have played great against the big boys, whether they won or not, but he would have elevated his play, because that's kind of how I viewed him. Now, I understand coaching changes. I understand all that. I get all that. But the number one trait for the quarterback is not only to win, but the trait, that's his objection, but the objective, should I say, but trait is to elevate everybody around him, including himself. And I love Mayfield. I do, and I'm not quitting on him yet. But you can also win championships without having the very best quarterback. You don't have to be a Hall of Famer to win championships. You don't have to have the best numbers. Look at how many interceptions Eli Manning threw. He had great help around him. He did it when it mattered in big games. He's got two Super Bowl wins. So you don't have to be Patrick Mahomes or Brady every week to win a Super Bowl. It's nice, but you don't have to. But you've got to sustain it against good teams, because unfortunately, come playoff time, you're not playing the Jets. You're not going to play the Bengals this year. You're not in the play. You're not. You're going to play the guys, the best of the best, and they're going to demand that you have not just moments, but stretches and games of consistency. You're right. It's disappointing. I'm not calling him a bust yet, but I can tell you this, that these next 10 games for him and his career in Cleveland are monumental. I'm going to defend him until they finally say we've had enough. But if all of a sudden 5 games from now they go on some losing streak and they bench him, I'm just throwing this out there, and they put him down for Case Keenum, you can rest assured his time in Cleveland's over.
You're right.
Not because of injury. It will tell you a lot down the stretch. And if he likes pressure, he's got it, because he's the first pick of the draft, and we expect – and we're 3 years in. It's time – to elevate. They've got good players, and I'm going to support him and believe in him. But there's no question, there are times right now, through his game that he's holding their development back a little bit. And I'm a Baker Mayfield supporter. I am. But he's got to play better if they're going to reach their next level, as do a lot of guys. But we always focus on the quarterback because, well, the quarterback and the head coach, that's why they get paid, and that's why they're the stars and get most of the pub, even at times when it's not right to give him the pub. That's they get it. So I'm going to support him. But I watch him closely, how he reacts, how he will under pressure. He has got to play better for it. He's a middle-of-the-road guy right now. He's not the guy. He's playing like just a guy against good teams, and he's got to get better. He knows that. He's not silly. He's not stupid. He knows that. But if he doesn't get better, the Browns will be eliminated quickly if they make it to the playoffs, and they will start to whisper, and whispers will become roars if it's just kind of pedestrian the rest of the year. And if he's fortunate enough to be their starting quarterback next year, he's got to play better.
Yeah. Sean Salisbury is with us on the hotline. Sean, you know, a lot of people have talked about Baker and his inability to read defenses and read the field. You, as a former quarterback, can you take us through what it's like pre-snap, what you have to look for, what you have to diagnose, and then, of course, once the play begins, where do your eyes have to go as you go through your progressions? Because I think a lot of fans don't know that. We talk about reads and going through progressions and things like that. I didn't play quarterback. You did at the highest level. Give us a little insight there.
Those are the things, the great ones. See, look at a guy, we'll use the best of the best, right? Brady. There's plenty of guys that are physically more gifted than him. But his pre-snap and then to post-snap read, he was a step ahead. So, and then he's got the ability to trust his anticipation. So he's two steps ahead. The ball comes out on time, and the ball's accurate because he knows where to throw it. Denny Green used to always tell us, know who to get and how to get them. And while that sounds like such a simple phrase, and here's what young quarterbacks do. They lock in because, listen, in high school, the windows are 10 yards, 12 yards. In college, the windows are 7 yards when you're playing Oklahoma versus Texas Tech. That you can wait till a guy gets to the window. You don't throw him into the window. He's in the window, and you see both eyes. You throw him open. In the NFL, coffee can size windows, you've got to trust the window and you've got to throw to those size windows every week on a continuous basis and trust that you can make that throw on time to the right guy, know who to get and how to get him. Listen, man coverage, if he was seeing man coverage every week, that's easy. You want to know why? Because it usually becomes a one-man route. I like this matchup. I don't have to go through progressions. I've always said you want to confuse a young quarterback who's not used to getting to a third or fourth progression, play zone. Make him take away the curl. Make him go to the flat. Make him throw the check down. Then make him either use his legs as a check down or throw the ball out of bounds. That's the hardest thing because, oh, we eliminate it. Oh, it's press, man. I'll throw the fade route to that cat right there. I don't have to go through my progression. So, and what guys do, they'll come to the line of scrimmage. They'll see the safeties. It starts there. Which way do they rotate? If they rotate right, the simplest thing is let's work left. They got an extra body. If they play two high safeties, let's work inside out and just be smart and play and throw off the underneath defender if you really want to keep it basic. But as you expand, it's hard to be basic because they disguise. So the problem is a lot of young quarterbacks or guys that are still feeling their way through this is you get pre-snap read, and then you know what you do when the ball snapped? Boom, all of a sudden the hesitate, the panic. That's why I say you've got to urgent feet, slow the mind down. And knowing pre-snap, and that comes with hours of film study leading up to Sunday. If you just think you're going to go in on Saturday or go into the meeting room and watch tape and say, I got it, that's why guys like Manning at 11 o'clock at night when people are out having dinner, he was studying because he wanted to make sure that he kept his day job and that's why he got the day job. So staying a step ahead, but the pre-snap's one thing, but most high school, you get away with it. Nobody disguises. In college football, they disguise a little, but they play a handful of coverages. In the NFL, they're dropping nose tackles into your side adjustment read. They know you run a slant versus a blitz. Okay, they bring four, but really they don't. They're only bringing three. But the defensive tackle's dropping into your side to just throw. So you got to know. You got to know, well, they're only bringing three. I got that blocked up. I don't have to throw a side adjust then. That's the problem. And then what happens when it starts to roll fast, we start to speed up our mind and slow down our feet. Think about those times when you're hesitant. If you're driving, all of a sudden you'll find yourself, you're thinking about something, you'll find yourself going 55 miles an hour. People are blowing by you because you're mind. And then you think about when you're just going, you don't even remember how you got to your location. You just got there because you drove, you knew it, and boom, and you don't think about it. You react. Right now, young quarterbacks or Baker, I think he's going through, he's not in the reaction period. Like in Oklahoma, everything was react. Boom, there's the window, throw it, big window. And at times in the NFL, but the great ones, it's not at times. It's at times you miss it, not at times you make it. The great ones are making it most of the time. The guys who are struggling, it feels like there's 15 guys on the field, but you have to go back to basic mechanics, and you've got to understand what you're looking at. You've got to trust what you see. And if you don't, then bad things will happen sometimes. And your ability will take you through once in a while. But you've got to – that's why I tell my quarterback, for every hour you spend on the field, guys I'm training, spend two studying. They don't believe you until they throw four picks into coverage and they come back and say, Coach, I want to study more. I said, 6 months ago, I told you this offseason, you should have been looking at your huddle tape. And it is so underrated, and it even goes into the NFL with guys like Baker Mayfield. You got to know who to get and how to get them.
Sean, last thing. Odell Beckham, very passionate on the sideline of this game. He was kind of yelling his teammates a little bit, and they didn't seem to have a problem with it. They felt like he was trying to get him fired up. But later in the game, he gets pulled because they're getting crushed, and he takes off his cleats on the sideline. Dustin had a problem with it. I know some former players did. He said today that he just did it. He had turf toe or whatever. I don't know. You got a beef with that? Or him yelling at teammates?
I don't have a problem with guys. Listen, one thing you know when you got Odell Beckham, that's going to happen. That's not changing. And it ain't going to be the last time you're going to see him get fits. Well, guys, it happened. It's followed him around. That doesn't make him a bad guy. He's emotion on his sleeve. That's how he plays football. I usually don't have a problem with the yelling unless it's such a distraction that it takes away from execution. Then I got a problem with it. When a celebration or a yelling on the sideline that you don't get to make the adjustment, you go back out there, you're still yelling at each other, and it affects the rest of the team. That's when I have a problem. Listen, I don't have a problem with a coach and a player cussing each other out, or two players. It happens all the time. Sometimes the cameras see it, sometimes don't. I do have a problem. If you've got turf toe, most guys I know with turf toe have a hard time running around, probably don't play much. Okay, that's just from what I know about it. But listen, if he says he's got turf toe, he's got it. I don't subscribe to the, would he have done that if they were up two touchdowns and he had three touchdown catches? I don't know. And I like Odell, I do. And I don't have a problem with the emotion because I like every team needs, we need a guy that does that, that challenges people, as long as it's not a distraction to helping you execute your plan. But on the sidelines, I do have a problem with, I've never subscribed to the guy deciding to go in at an NBA game a minute and 20 before the game's over, or 20 seconds, or taking your shoes off. You know what? Loosen them up, untie them if you're not going back, and just leave them on. Because even though it's not that big a deal, it's bad optics. And especially when it's like when somebody's laughing on the sidelines after they just get their ass kicked by 40. Yeah. People have a problem with it because it just doesn't look right to some guys on your team that may not be laughing. So if everybody's not doing it, I don't know why one guy has to do it. To me, that's why it's called a uniform, and that's why it's called a team. We'll all take our pads off together, or if you're hurt, you take them off. But in my mind, if everybody's got their cleats on, I think you're probably not above it. You can keep your cleats on like everybody else.
Sean, great stuff, man. Good to talk to you as always. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next
Always
week.
Great to talk to you guys. Hang in there, man. It gets better, I promise. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
Sean Salisbury.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.